We're going to look at Daniel 9 this time. Daniel chapter 9. Before we start, I'm going to warn you that this is a difficult subject, and you'll need to listen very carefully. In verse 2, Daniel says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Daniel has referred to the prophecy of Jeremiah, and we shall have to look back and read some verses there. Jeremiah wrote some years before Daniel, and you'll appreciate that our previous studies in Daniel have shown that Daniel was actually living in the times and conditions prophesied by Jeremiah. So let us turn back to Jeremiah, keeping a finger in Daniel, if possible. First of all, Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah isn't a great way back in your Bible from Daniel. Jeremiah 25. At the beginning of the chapter, we find that Jeremiah was given a message from the Lord to his people, pointing out to them that he had sent his servants to them, but they had not listened. Speaking of this word, verse 2 says, "The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah, and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, Turn ye again now, every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, and to your fathers for ever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt." Because they had not listened to the Lord's message, he said in verse 8, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So captivity in Babylon under Nebuchadrezzar was prophesied. As you already know, it took place, and Daniel was living in those times in Babylon. There's one important fact to notice here, though. At the end of verse 11 it says, "They shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So once again we see a limit to man's activities. 70 years. Turning on to Jeremiah 29, verse 10, Jeremiah 29, verse 10, we read, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place." A Again, there is the promise that after 70 years, they would be free to return to their land. The Book of Nehemiah tells about the return and the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, which had previously been broken down and ruined. We can't turn to it now, although it's a very interesting book. We've already seen that past history is often a picture of future events. We've seen, too, that certain promises were made to Israel, but because of their disobedience, the fulfillment of the promises has been postponed. In the meantime, they've suffered by being scattered all over the world and persecuted. But that scattering and persecution is not forever. It has a limit. And one day Israel will be blessed and restored in the most wonderful way. So the captivity in Babylon, the persecution of the people, and the destruction of Jerusalem were pictures of the greater story of these people and their land. They had 70 years captivity in Babylon, and there's another 70 in their greater story as well. We'll see that later. Turning once again to Daniel 9, we read verse 2, which led us to turn back to Jeremiah to see more about the 70 years desolation of Jerusalem. Following that, Daniel prayed to the Lord, and his prayer is recorded in the following verses. It's interesting, but we must pass over it for now. It concerns the sin of his people, the cause of their captivity, and then he went on to pray for their restoration. While he was praying, the Lord sent a messenger to him, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. It was explained to Daniel by Gabriel that 70 weeks are determined, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. We've already seen that in prophecy, time is sometimes differently expressed from the normal meaning of weeks and years. Last time we saw how time and times and half a time meant 3.5 years. Now once again we have to face a somewhat different usage of the word week than we mean. It's not just 7 days here. The Bible speaks elsewhere of Sabbaths of years. Now the Sabbath, as you know, was a day of the week, equivalent to our Saturday. When they spoke of Sabbaths of years, they did not mean a collection of Saturdays. You may have heard already of Israel's Jubilee, which was celebrated every 50th year. And they were told in Leviticus that they must count 7 Sabbaths of years. I think we must turn to it. Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and ye shall not sow neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. The 50th year was the jubilee year. But did you notice in verse 8 that it said, 7 Sabbaths of years? It was explained, 7 times 7 years. There was a Sabbath once a week, one day of rest in 7. There was a Sabbath every 7 years, 1 year in 7, when the land had a year's rest. A little bit like the old custom in other parts of the world of allowing land to lie fallow. And then for the Israelites, there was the Jubilee after 7 times 7 years. Each of these rest periods were termed Sabbaths. So we have to be prepared for a different meaning to the words we usually use for weeks, years, and so on. This does not apply everywhere in the Bible, but it can apply to prophecy. So now, turning back to Daniel, the reference to 70 weeks does in fact mean 70 times 7 years. Now, 70 times 7 equals 490 years. So what does it tell us in Daniel about these 490 years? 70 weeks, as they're called. Verse 24. Seventy weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. What a difficult verse to understand. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. To retranslate it, 490 years are set apart, and in that time, God's purposes concerning Daniel's people, Israel, and their holy city, Jerusalem, will be fulfilled. The next few words in verse 24 say, to finish the transgression. Will you note that it does not say to finish transgression, but to finish the transgression? This is not just any transgression, any wrongdoing, but the transgression. Turning back for a moment to Daniel 8, this is a chapter we passed over, but we must refer to it briefly. It concerns another vision which Daniel had of a ram and a he-goat, and again they portrayed kingdoms which were coming and what they would do. In chapter 8, verse 11, one of them is described as magnifying himself even against the prince of the host, that is, God himself. This ruler will magnify himself against God. And then, in relation to the Israelites, by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. That meant that the temple would be destroyed, and the sacrifices which took place there would be stopped. That has happened already, actually, but since the complete fulfillment of these verses is still future, it does mean that the temple will be rebuilt. In fact, much discussion has been taking place for some time now along those lines. Plans are being made to rebuild it, now that Israel are in control of the whole of Jerusalem. Since those Jews who are going back to their land now are doing so mostly without any belief in the great saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be starting the animal sacrifices again, such as they carried out in old times. But all those things will be taken away from them by this ruler because he's against God and his people. In verse 13 of Daniel 8, verse 13, Daniel records that he heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? In the middle of that verse, you get those words again, the transgression. And here they're followed by two more words, which we explain what is meant. The transgression of desolation. We said just now that the temple would be destroyed and the sacrifices stopped. And that is described as the transgression of desolation. In conjunction with that, Jerusalem will be made desolate too, but not forever. For we've already seen in the tape dealing particularly with that city, that it will eventually be greatly blessed of the Lord. This further desolation must come first, though. The verse we're looking at, Daniel 9:24, we find ends with the words to anoint the most holy. The words most holy should be translated the holy of holies. And you'll probably remember that a special part of the tabernacle was called the Holy of Holies, the part where only the priest could go, and then only once a year. This anointing of the Holy of Holies follows the transgression of desolation. The Holy of Holies will be made desolate by the evil ruler we mentioned earlier, but will be made right again in God's good time. Looking back over verse 24 then, we see that 490 years are set apart in which God will carry out his purposes regarding his people and their city, Jerusalem. Now first, we must find out when the 490 years started. The next few verses help us, so we'll read verses 24 to 27. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, I did say they would help us, but perhaps you feel more confused than ever. They're very difficult verses. So let us have a closer look at them. They start off with a reference to the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. We mentioned earlier that the book of Nehemiah tells us about this. Well then, we have the beginning of this period of 490 years, the restoring and rebuilding of Jerusalem. The end of verse 25 says, The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And if you read the book of Nehemiah sometime, you'll realize how true that was. There was opposition to the building and difficulties to be overcome, but it was finally completed. Now the commandment was given in 455 BC, 455 years before Christ. And the work of the rebuilding was completed and the temple itself dedicated in 405 BC. Now if you add 490 years onto that, you should get the end of this period which God has set aside for the carrying out of his purposes concerning Israel. But is that so? From 405 BC to the birth of Christ is a good slice out of the 490 years, isn't it? It actually leaves only 85 years. So by 85 AD, God's purposes should have been completed. But here we are in 1968 AD, and still his purposes are not complete. Well, once again, what's the answer? Probably some of you know by now. Yes, Israel has been temporarily set aside. The plans and purposes of God concerning his people have been put aside for the time being. Therefore, these days in which we're living can't be counted as part of the 490 years. The 490 years ran smoothly from the time of Nehemiah to the end of the Acts of the Apostles. Then came the break. Since those years, from Nehemiah to the end of Acts, cover 469 years, that leaves 21 more for the remainder of God's purposes concerning Israel to be worked out. We shall have to learn a lot about the events which will take place during those 21 years. And as we do, you'll see that the world is getting ready, without realizing it, for these events. Turning back to Daniel 9, we find that verse 26 says, Daniel 9, verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. This is a reference to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was cut off, but not for himself. His death took place on our behalf. It was for others that he died, not for himself, but that we might have forgiveness and everlasting life. However, if you have a margin to your Bible, you will find there's a different translation given. Instead of "but not for himself," the translation should be "and have nothing." So while it's true that his death was not for himself, it is more true to the original to translate it, "Messiah shall be cut off and have nothing." That was very true. He came to be king, Messiah, but his only crown was one of thorns. Even his clothes the soldiers took and cast lots for them. The tomb he was placed in belonged to someone else. He had nothing. All the wonderful prophecies concerning his glorious kingdom are still future. Thinking again about these calculations, the latter half of verse 25 does refer to 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Perhaps you're wondering why it's divided up like that. As you know by now, 7 weeks is 7 times 7, or 49 years. And then 62 weeks is 62 times 7, or 434 years. Unless you're very good at mental arithmetic, you won't have kept up with me there, but I assure you that the calculations are correct. 60, and 2 is 62. And 62 times 7 is 434 years. So we have two separate periods of time, 434 years and 49 years. Now verse 26 tells you that the crucifixion of our Lord will take place after the 62 weeks, or 434 years. That is to say, 434 years after the dedication of the temple in the days of Nehemiah, the crucifixion took place. But what about the other 49 years? Well, after the Lord's death on the cross, Israel were given another chance. It's one of the wonders of God's grace and willingness to forgive that he did that. Even after crucifying his son, they had another chance. And Peter and others were sent to the Jewish people with the plea, repent. That further chance to believe went on, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, for 35 years, 5-7. Now 35 from 49 leaves 14. Another 14 years, 2-7, for God's dealings with his people. But we said earlier that there were 21 more years. That's 7 more than 14. That last 7 years is by no means left out, as we shall see. After speaking of the Messiah being cut off, verse 26 though continues, "And the people of the prince that shall come." Now who is this prince? Verse 25 speaks of Messiah the prince. But verse 26 is not referring to him, because the verse goes on, "The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." Actually, a better translation would be "a prince that shall come." "And the people of that prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." The prince himself we spoke about last time, and we referred to the transgression of desolation which he would cause earlier. This person is a false Messiah and is often called the Antichrist because of his dreadful actions. He first of all confirms a covenant, verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now you'll realize straight away that 1 week is a prophetic length of time, not 1 week of 7 days, but actually 7 years. This is the 7 years we found we needed to complete the 490 years, as we saw just now. At the beginning of the 7 years, this dreadful person, the Antichrist, or false Messiah, shall make a covenant with the Jews. But halfway through the 7 years, the covenant will be broken. The middle of verse 27 says, "In the midst of the week, the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate." A better translation of that is probably "in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, offerings made to God, to cease, and in its stead shall stand in the holy place the abomination that maketh desolate." This is the replacing of the worship of God with the worship of an idol. And this false Messiah will set himself up as the one to be worshipped. There's one point we must mention in connection with these 7 years. The covenant will be broken halfway through. That is to say, after 3.5 years. After the breaking of the covenant, there will be a time of great trouble. That terrible time, known as the Great Tribulation, will last 3.5 years, the second half of the 7 years. 3.5 years. Time and times and dividing of time, as we saw in our last study. Shall we look back to Daniel 7:25 to refresh our memory? Daniel 7, verse 25. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times, and the dividing of times." As we saw last time, this dreadful time ends
with the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till our studies bring us to the end of the 490 years of God's dealings with Israel, 434 from the dedication of the temple in the time of Nehemiah until the crucifixion, 35 more as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, 14 more still to come, plus the last 7 of the Antichrist's activities. The last 3.5 will be the worst of all, and we shall have to go into that in more detail later. But in the meantime, we must close. So once again, may God bless you. Amen.